This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a musical journey with a renowned violinist, an energetic evening of Cuban dance, or a strum and guitar concert, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Internationally renowned violin virtuoso Regina Carter is heading to New Orleans to perform works from her most recent release, Southern Comfort. The multi-genre violinist celebrates the folk music of her childhood. We caught up with Regina by phone. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks for having me on today.
This CD celebrates your roots and veers away from the jazz that you are well known for. Did this musical exploration turn into a genealogy project for you?
It actually started out as a genealogy project. Once I was getting information and finding out some really interesting information on my family and hooking up my tree with other family members' trees, some who I already knew, some I didn't know, I never had the opportunity to meet my grandfather, who had passed away before I was born. I knew he was a coal miner. So then I became interested in what the music would have been that was relevant during his lifetime. And when I started listening to some of the field recordings and reading articles, going down to the Library of Congress and going through the Lomax collection, I thought those field recordings were so powerful and raw and beautiful that I thought it would be an interesting project to try and arrange some of those field recordings.
Now, your grandfather, he was a coal miner where?
He was a coal miner in Alabama, Bradford, Alabama, which is right outside Birmingham, Alabama. In fact, Bradford doesn't exist now. He was born in 1893 in Georgia, and then at some point moved to Alabama and was a coal miner there for many years.
What types of songs caught your ear?
Some of the coal mining songs, the work songs that the miners would sing, either to get through work or just songs that contained messages, maybe about forming unions or something was getting ready to happen, or just watch songs. Also games from children's schools, also some dances, sort of like our square dance where you listen to the caller call out and then you change your partners in certain steps. The more I listened and read, the further I got drawn in it. I just wanted to be able to share some of it. So when I'm playing live, I play a couple of examples of the field recordings so people can hear these beautiful recordings and then hear what we've done with them in arranging them for full band, because most of the field recordings are just single voice. Cornbread Crumbled and Gravy was a field recording, Shoe Rye, Cece Ryder.
Tell us a little bit about the field recording, Cornbread Crumbled and Gravy. The title makes me hungry.
Yes, it does. When I heard that, for some reason I felt like I knew it. I had heard it before, and when you hear this single voice, this woman singing it, it just did something. It took me back to my childhood. And to either my mother or grandmother, someone rocking me on their lap, trying to get me to go to sleep. So it took me back to a very warm and loving space. And when I play the field recording, it doesn't matter where we are, in the U.S. or in Europe, people seem to think they know that recording. It hits a memory for people.
Now, there's no jazz involved at all in any of the songs on this album.
No. We're jazz musicians approaching this music and trying to pay respect and pay homage to this music in the time period from which it came, but we are jazz musicians, so you're going to hear some of that language in there. There's improvisation, and some of them have modern chord changes, but no, this is more just my presentation of folk music.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. But every summer, we would drive down to Alabama. So I would spend my summers with my grandmother, with my cousins, and it was a completely different life than growing up in Detroit, because back then there were no sidewalks. She didn't have a bathroom in the house. She had to go to the outhouse. No television. It was very rural, very different. But a lot of love, a lot of family time, and a lot of times visiting neighbors, hearing stories and music. So I have a lot of memories, a lot of beautiful memories. My grandmother in Alabama.
In your research, in your family tree, were there any surprises?
Yeah, I did a DNA test. It came back 73% West African, 13% Finnish, which was a huge surprise.
Finnish?
Yes. I know, that's what I was like, really? I would have to hire someone to dig into that.
You also have other influences on the CD, one being a Cajun fiddle song. Blues de Basile?
Yes, that is by Amadi Ardoin and Dennis McGee. The tune is just such a fun tune to play, and although it doesn't have anything necessarily directly to do with my roots, it still ties in with my findings in the South and to Southern music. This tune also, there was such a powerful story because Amadi Ardoin loved playing for parties, just loved playing, period. And just such a phenomenal player, and people always wanted to hire him to play for their functions. And he died a really horrific death. And it struck me on such a level because in this country, what we're dealing with now, you know, as far as the racism that's just so rampant, and we think that we've moved so far forward, and you look at something like this that happened so long ago, and we're still there. We still haven't dealt with these issues. And I felt it was another reason to record this song as a nod to him and to tell the story as well. He'd been hired to play for a party of a white family. And as people started drinking and drinking and drinking and getting more drunk, he was sweating. And the story is that a white woman dabbed his forehead with her handkerchief, and the men were not happy with that, and they chased him. It was said he was used to being chased and he would get away, but this time they caught him and they killed him. It was just ugly. Some of this music comes out of a very ugly part of our history. And I think we have a tendency in this country to not want to talk about things and to bury them. And we can't. You have to talk about it. It's the only way you get past it. But even out of that ugliness, there was some beautiful music. And Amadi Ardoin gave us some amazing music, and I wanted to share that as well.
Now, this isn't the first time that you veered away from jazz. You began this journey, I believe, on a prior CD.
Right, Reverse Thread. When I was growing up, I was always really curious about my culture and where did I come from? And it's got to be more than just growing up in Detroit and having my grandparents in the South. So I've always been very curious. And music, I think, is my way of discovering things about myself and my family and discovering things about other cultures. There's so much beautiful music here on the planet. And not all of it is music that we're going to hear on the radio. Some of it you have to go and research and find. I find it fascinating that most music on the planet, if it's instrumental, includes an instrument that the violin is related to. So even though I'm labeled a jazz musician, I have a love of just music.
How are you hoping audiences in New Orleans will respond to this musical journey?
I hope they will embrace it and that it sparks curiosity.
Regina Carter, enjoy New Orleans.
Thank you. I sure will. I'm looking forward to it.
Regina Carter's Southern Comfort concert performance takes place Friday evening at the Contemporary Arts Center with two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. More info at cacno.org. Cuba's newest dance export is heading to the Crescent City as the New Orleans Ballet Association and the NOCA Institute present Malpaso Dance Company. We caught up with the Havana-based Contemporary Dance Company's founder, artistic director, and performer, Osnel Delgado, by phone. He is joined by his translator, Fernando Saez. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity.
Will this be your first trip as a company to New Orleans?
Yes, it's our first trip.
What are you looking forward to on this journey?
Well, for us, it's always good to perform for different audiences. I think that it's very important the company expose the work at the best level that we have.
What does the name Malpaso mean?
Well, Malpaso is somehow connected with my personal story. When I was dancer of Danza Contemporánea de Cuba for 8 years, at that moment of my career, I want to develop something else, like my choreographic voice. And, I don't have a room enough in that company, so I left the company, maybe my best moment as a dancer, and I decide and be independent and create something new. Many people advise me about the bad step, the misstep that I was about to take, and now with friends and the collaboration of other people, we have our project that we name Malpaso.
Now, Malpaso, does it translate to something in English?
Bad step or misstep.
How long have you been performing as a company?
We created the company in December 2012. The company was growing in a fast and organic way until we have a number of 10 dancers. We have 5 boys and 5 girls. 5 graduated from the National School of Dance and 5 from the National School of Ballet. So all in all, we are like 3 years old company, and we're performing together since the very beginning.
And tell me a little bit more about yourself. How did you first come to dance?
I came from a small dance family. My parents both dancers, dance teachers, actually. My mom was a teacher for more than 20 years of the National School of Dance. I was a dancer of Danza Contemporánea de Cuba, the company that I worked for. And yeah, I grew up just, you know, going to the theaters, the schools, seeing the girls with the, you know, dressing. So it was my first passion when I was a little boy. But I was a little bit upset also about the people told me that you must be like your father or your mother. So I tried to find a different way. I started in gymnastics for 5 years. And then I joined the dance school when I was 12. I graduated with 17. Then I joined Danza Contemporánea de Cuba. And now here we are.
So it was pretty much expected.
Yeah. At the end, it was in my blood, so I don't have another choice.
Now, you have 3 works on the program, including one of your own, 24 Hours and a Dog. What are you exploring in this dance?
24 Hours is a recreation in the day of the life of our dancers in the specific city of Havana, and imaginary dogs.
And there are 2 works by celebrated American choreographers Ronald Brown and Trey McIntyre. Let's talk first about McIntyre's Bad Winter, which I believe is making its U.S. premiere here in New Orleans.
The premiere is going to be here. Bad Winter is a gift of Trey. He generously donates his work. I think when the creators make something, they always start from something that is siempre parten como ellos mismos.
So they always develop the works from something personal, from themselves.
Pero después,
they always try to connect themselves and the work with some personal experiences and to find the bridges to convey some feelings and ideas to the audience. So the Bad Winter in a relationship is experienced somehow in many different ways. Time doesn't stop. We have to move forward anyway, disregarding how difficult the circumstances might be. Always stories and things ending that are somehow a beginning.
Okay. And the 3rd work, Ronald Brown's Afro-Cuban flavored Why You Follow. What will we see?
All right. He will continue speaking Spanish. I will translate. So this question, why you follow, is a question that at some point of our life, or we human beings, do ask to ourselves. And it is important to know who you are and where are you from and where do you go. And all the legacy that you are carrying on with you, with yourself. Ron actually uses many different influences from Africa that he has been learning about. And some elements related to modern dance techniques. And he also included in the work elements belonging to the Afro-Cuban dance tradition. Of course, it makes sense because he worked with the Cuban dance company. All those elements conform like a sort of triangle. So the work is connected to a path that we have to follow, and it's related also to the future.
Now, will you perform in any of the works?
Yes, he will dance in 2 works, 24 Hours and a Dog, and Why You Follow. Our company is a small one. At this moment on tour, we are 9 dancers. And some of the dancers are dancing the whole program, the 3 works. It is going to be a very intense program. And this is what we do and what we love.
Asnel Delgado, founder and artistic director of Malpaso Dance Company, and translator Fernando Saez. Thanks so much.
Thanks to you for calling.
Thank you very much to you. And we really hope you have a great time in your city.
The New Orleans Ballet Association and the NOCA Institute present Cuba's Malpaso Dance Company for three performances Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and a Sunday matinee at 2 in NOCA's Lupin Hall, 2800 Charter Street. More info at nobadance.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. In the Marigny, guitars are humming as master electric and acoustic guitarist Jimmy Robinson joins the Bruskers duo in a series of concerts that kick off tonight. The finger-picking Jimmy Robinson is here. Welcome.
Hey, Diane. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Just the mention of your name brings musical electricity to a room, and now you are introducing a pair of Italian guitarists into the mix. Who are the Bruskers duo, and how did your paths cross?
Well, Eugenio and Matteo, they call themselves the Bruskers duo. We met at a festival in Italy in Arbusco called Acoustic Franciacorta a couple of years ago. It's a series of concerts around this area at different locations with really spectacular guitar players from all around the world. And we became friends and exchanged emails and recordings and whatnot. And then when I discovered that they had a U.S. tour this year, I set up three dates in New Orleans for them that we could do together.
Let's talk a little bit about their style.
They're both classical guitarists, meaning they play fingerstyle nylon guitars, but they do a lot of jazz material, and they rearrange a lot of jazz classics. There's a lot of humor in what they do and a lot of very complex arrangements, virtuoso playing. They have a bunch of standards and their takes on standards. They have the great Dave Brubeck's Take Five that they sort of dissected and reconstructed in Night in Tunisia. They even have a Sting song called Fragile that they do a beautiful job on. It's not what you would expect. You get a really different take on these classic pieces.
Now, you are known for many musical styles, performing with the bands Twangarama and Woodenhead.
Mm-hmm.
What type of music will you perform with the Bruskers duo?
The set that I tour with most is solo acoustic guitar, and I write pieces for the solo guitar. Some have vocals, but bulk of them are instrumental pieces. And it's kind of a combination of jazz and classical and folk and rock, Celtic, a little bit of everything all put together. I'm going to play a little bit by myself, and then they're going to play, and then we're going to play together. And I wrote a piece specifically for the three of us that they've learned long distance. We've been exchanging files through emails, and I'm excited about that. It's a new piece called New Guitar Trio. It's an instrumental piece. It's got a little bit of Latin flavor to it and written specifically for three guitars. So it's kind of exciting for me to have something brand new just for the three of us to play.
Wow, nothing like a great musical surprise.
Yeah.
Would you be able to play a little preview of your new song?
That's a trio, but I can play another song that was kind of inspired by these mm-hmm. guys and the festival that we met at, if you like.
Okay.
I actually wrote this piece and named it Franciacorta No. 2, and it's named after the festival, which was called Acoustic Franciacorta, where I met these guys. So it's kind of all tied together. Ready? A lot of percussive aspects that can be played on the acoustic guitar. I do a lot of that. A lot of two-handed work on the neck, and that's something that's become pretty much popular for guitarists over the last 10, 15 years, where you're actually playing the guitar more like a piano with both hands on the fingerboard. Some of that happens. And then some traditional techniques, strumming and picking and finger picking and etc. Just a little bit of everything. I try to throw it all in, you know.
And we'll see a combination of that
Indeed.
In tonight's performance?
As a solo guitarist, you need to keep it interesting by adding as much ammunition as you have available, and that's kind of what I try to do.
So let's go back in time, and let's talk about when you were first attracted to the guitar, and what was the pull for you?
The Beatles, pretty much. You know, the effect that the Beatles had on girls was probably the main attraction.
So you go back to the 60s.
Yeah, and I just got really seduced by the music from a very young age, like a lot of friends of mine did, and it sort of stuck. And I started playing in bands and playing professionally, and then started in music school and wound up at Loyola College of Music. Did my degree there in classical guitar and composition, and just kind of took, you know.
Now, you have been recording and touring for over four decades.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you would like to do with your music that you haven't done yet?
Carnegie Hall. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. I keep doing it. I'm stretching out my route a little more. I've been going to Europe solo for a bunch of years now, and that's growing every year. And a lot more United States stuff as well. We went to Mexico a few years ago for a guitar festival down there. It's broadening all the time.
What will be most memorable from this cultural exchange?
Well, just that. I think they really are so enamored with New Orleans. And I've brought other European artists over here, other friends that we've toured together in the States and toured in Europe together. And everyone just loves New Orleans. It's such a big kick for them to come here and see the diversity of music. I mean, there's so much here that we take for granted. I had a German promoter, Paul Zahner, from Austria here with his film crew about a month ago. And they stayed with us, and we took them down Frenchman Street and to the Offbeat Music Awards and to hear Helen Gillet and a lot of great artists, and they were just blown away. You could just see in their faces that there's so much more here, music in a concentrated area, than so many other places in the world. It's really something, and such diversity in music.
Are you planning a return trip to Italy to perform with the Bruskers?
Yeah, we're doing that in June this year. I'm going to play with them, and I'm doing some German dates, and I'm going to be in the Netherlands as well, in Belgium.
New Orleans guitarist Jimmy Robinson, thanks.
Thank you, Diane. Pleasure to be here.
The Bruskers guitar duo make their New Orleans debut with Jimmy Robinson in a free one-hour introductory concert tonight at Snug Harbor, 5:30 p.m. Additional concerts are tomorrow night at the Mint and Thursday night at Chickiwawa. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.